Good morning, everybody. I feel like it's been a while since I've been here, and it has, because I've been gone for the last couple of weeks. And it's been a couple months since I was up here preaching, so it's good to be back. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You finished Hebrews last week, right, Brandon? 2 weeks ago. Okay, good deal. So we didn't start another book? Okay, good. I probably should have asked that before it was time, but I guess we're not going to be in order today if it was. So good deal. Good deal. Didn't miss a meeting. So yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 2. As Kirk said last week at Montana Family Camp, a lot of good stuff there. You know, the messages have a lot of power to them, and a lot of good stuff. And it's good to be encouraged, and it's good to be challenged and stuff. For me. The fellowship is a huge part of it. Just being able to spend time with some of the people that you don't get to see. There was people there from Africa. There's people there from France. There's people there from Washington, from Pennsylvania, from Virginia, Ohio, Michigan, Texas, and a few from Montana. Even some from North Dakota. There's people from all over the place. So people that typically don't get to see, it was good to be able to see them, to visit with them, and to be encouraged by them, and just know that you know, sometimes it's easy to kind of get that mindset that Elijah had in the Old Testament when he thought he was by himself, and the Lord said no, you know, quit crying for yourself. There's 7,000 other righteous men, and sometimes. It's easy to think we're kind of all alone out here in eastern Montana, but the church is working all over the world, and it's very encouraging to have that. So that's my takeaway from last week, and that was free. So now we'll get into the expensive part. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is a letter that Paul has written to Timothy. Paul went around and started congregations, and he left guys like Timothy, like Titus, in those positions to be the evangelist. He's writing to Timothy, and he's giving him a charge to preach the gospel and to do lots of different things. And Timothy was a younger man, and we're not going to get into that part today. We might, but Timothy was the evangelist, and he was basically put in charge of something that Paul had started in order to spread the gospel in that part of the world and to encourage the saints. I know Kirk's been going through Ephesus, Ephesians, recently in his class, talking about the roles of the evangelists and the elders and the deacons and stuff, and so the prophets. And so we're still going through some of that. But Timothy was in charge of a lot of stuff. He had quite the amount of things that he was doing, and the work that he was doing was very important. And so that's kind of a background of what is going on here when Paul's writing to him. But let's start in the first verse of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Lord, I thank you for the letters that we have in the New Testament that we can look at, that we can read. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that is found in them. Lord, the encouragement that's found in them, Lord, Lord, just pray that as we go through this passage today, that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your truths, that we might gain wisdom, that we might be encouraged to go out and proclaim your name from the rooftops, Lord, that we might be that shining city on the hill that the lost world so badly needs to see, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for your Son. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you for the spirit that we have that is not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, Lord, and boldness, and a spirit that can help us do great things for your kingdom. Lord, I just pray that as we go through this morning, that my words might be the words that you wish for me to speak. Lord, I just thank you for your love. I thank you for Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Okay. If you get a chance, and I don't know if we're going to go through some of the messages in class sometime, are we, Kirk? Maybe, maybe not. Nolan Toole's message last week at Family Camp, look it up. If, Kirk, if we get some copies of the CDs, which we probably will, or the DVDs, watch Nolan Toole's message, especially if prayer is something that you're interested in, because it was a very good message on prayer. And I'm just a little plug for Nolan there, but this first verse here again says, first of all, then I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Now, we know from different places in the Bible, when the message today is not going to be on prayer, but it's part of this here. And prayer is a powerful thing. We know that the effectual prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And that's not just praying for somebody to get over their cold, which is good to pray for somebody to get over their cold. You know, I hate it when my kids are sick, mostly because maybe I don't get to sleep at night. No, it's not because of that. Because I don't like when my kids are sick. You know, I've been in the hospital a few times with my kids, and I don't enjoy it. You know, it's not fun. So I do pray for my kids to get healthy. You know, if they're sick, or I pray for different people for their physical ailments, and that's good. But prayer is also something that the word petition there, that's asking God, and it's good for us to be able to go to God. The whole book of Hebrews that we just went through, one of the biggest points that I pulled out of is that in the old covenant and the old law, only the one person got to talk to God. And you went through that person to talk to God. That was the high priest. And he got to go into the Holy of Holies. He got to be in the presence of God. Now, people can still pray to him, but he got to go into the presence of God. Now, we can go into the presence of God ourselves because he is living inside of us. And so we have that access to the Father. And prayer is something that I think probably, I know in my life, has lacked. And I think it's something that maybe we don't spend enough time on, probably. I know that is something that maybe we should look into a little bit. Williston does a monthly prayer night where they just get together and pray for a couple hours. I think that's stuff that could be encouraging to us. But that's something we can talk about later. But prayer is something that is very powerful. Prayer is something that is extremely powerful. You know, throughout lots of places, we know the scriptures like, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and the door will be opened to you. over and over again, there's power in prayer. We know that Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he went and he prayed. For hours he prayed. But he prayed not only for what he wanted, but when he was done, he prayed that not his will, but the Father's be done. You see, so when we pray, we can pray for lots of different things. We always get answers to prayers. There's the Garth Brooks song, you know, unanswered prayers. God always answers your prayers. Sometimes it's no. And sometimes it's not what we want. And sometimes it's not what we see. But God answers the prayers. God answers the prayers. Now, in Nolan's message, he was talking a lot about when he became a Christian and stuff. And there was a part in there that was interesting to me. Isaiah chapter 59 talks about you know, God couldn't hear their prayers. Not that his ear was so dull, or that his arm was not long enough, that it was too short, that he couldn't reach, but that he didn't hear them because they had separated themselves from God. And so when Nolan was talking about this, he said that when he became a Christian, like, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to go pray, because he understood that at that point now God can hear my prayers, because it was important. Because when you become a Christian, now, God can hear the prayers of the people that are searching. God can hear the prayers of everybody. But God, there's a separation between us and God when we are not a part of Christ. And so praying post-conversion is different. Because God has that open communication with us. Prayer is important. And Paul here in his talk to Timothy, he's saying, you know, pray for all men. Now the second verse goes and it says, for kings and all who are in authority in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, sometimes I think that the first part gets overshadowed by the second because we talk about, you know, praying for our leaders that we might live a tranquil life, but I think the focus here still is to pray for all men. It's not just to pray for the leaders. It's to pray that we have the freedoms, that we don't have the persecution from the leaders, from the kings and from the rulers and the government and whatnot. But that's not the focus. The focus isn't on them. The focus is on the prayer. That we are praying for them and for all men. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 10. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, and in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known to the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So our battle is not against flesh and blood. And he says to gird ourselves with the gird our loins and to put on the helmet of salvation, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, and to do all that stuff. And then he says to pray. To pray that we do not succumb to that. To pray in light of these things, verse 18, with all prayer and petition that we pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, with all of this stuff that he's been talking about, with all of that in view, the schemes of the devil, the schemes of the evil one, and the day that is a part that we are a part of, and the evil that is around us, having done all of these things to prepare ourselves, with this in view, be on alert. With all perseverance and petition, not for ourselves, but for all the saints. And then Paul writes here that to pray on his behalf because he is in prison at this time. He is in chains. He's an ambassador in chains. But you know what his focus is? He's saying to pray for me that I am bold in my speaking out to them about the hope that lies within, about the truth that is Jesus Christ, about the gospel of salvation. Turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Never mind, go to Colossians, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2, 4. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at all times for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, which that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. You see, the things that we pray for are much deeper than sitting around the breakfast and praying for the food. No, that's good. Praying for your meals, praying for Thanksgiving, all that stuff. But what he is specifically asking for in these parts is to pray that they are bold and that the words are given to them to be able to spread the gospel basically to those that hate him because he is imprisoned for doing such. And that is what he's praying for. And he's asking for prayers for the saints that they might do the same. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start in verse 3 again. It says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, this one is kind of hard for me sometimes. That he desires all men to be saved, because God desires all men to be saved. But it's something that I have to check myself a little bit, because we have to have that desire as well. You see, he says to pray for all men. He doesn't say to pray for those that you like, or to pray for those that you get along with, or pray for those that you know haven't hurt you, or pray for those who haven't wronged you. He says pray for all men. And then he says, and God desires all men to be saved. Now trust me, when God desires all men to be saved, God's not looking down at your life and saying, "Well, I'm not worried about that guy anymore because he let his cattle get on your ranch." That's not what he's thinking. He is desiring all men to be saved, and we have to understand that even though we might have some differences with people in the world, we have to have a desire for them to be saved. We might have problems with somebody in our job. We might have problems with somebody in our family. We might have some things that happen. But we have to have a desire for them to be saved. And if we don't, we're never going to take that extra step to do that. Now trust me, I've got some people in my life that I'm like, man. Ugh. But you know what? We got to pray for them. We got to pray for them, and then we got to go out and we have to treat them in a way that they can see Christ in us, even if we are not friends. Even if we've had disagreements in our lives. We have to go about our lives knowing and understanding, like Kirk said this morning at the beginning, he quoted a message from over at the family camp, that if we're not picturing them in hell, burning in hell for all eternity, then what's going to be our motivation to go after and get them? But we have to picture the people we don't even like doing that. We have to picture the druggie down the street. We have to picture the thief over here. We have to picture the whatever else over here. Even the murderers. We should desire all of them to come back. You know, Paul wrote a few letters. Paul's kind of the rock star of the New Testament. You know what Paul was before he became a Christian? He murdered people. But that's not who he is now. Because we have to vision those people who maybe are the murderers, who maybe are the adulterers, who maybe are the thieves, the druggies, whatever it is. We have to picture them either burning in hell for all eternity or happy in heaven for all eternity. And we have to have a desire for them to not be who they are anymore, but a desire for them to be different than they are now. And we're not going to have that if we don't make steps to care for them. And I'll guarantee you this, that if you have a problem with somebody and you pray for them, your vision of them is going to change a little bit. Your vision of them is going to change a little bit because you're going to take time to specifically pray for them, and that's going to change your mindset on who they are. Now, I've got some former friends who aren't friends anymore, who the friendship didn't end well, whom we don't get along. And I was thinking last night when I'm writing this message, I'm like, I haven't prayed for them. And I should pray for them. Because I should have a desire for them to receive the knowledge of the truth. I should have a desire for them to become Christians. Because I should have a desire for, even though they may have wronged me at times, that none of us in our lives have been deserving of the love that Christ has given us. But we all have gotten a chance, and we should be those people that give them the chance too. Because Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were yet his enemies, he died for us. We should be able to pray for those. He's not even asking us to die for them. He's asking us for us to be examples to them, to pray for them, to take steps to help them know Christ. And I promise if you start praying for them, it's going to change your mindset on how it is when you go see them next time. And it's not just praying for people we don't like, or praying for people who don't like us. It's praying for people we're friends with. I never asked Ken this morning if I could talk about him, but every once in a while I talked about Ken. One of the first things that he told me was that my grandfather prayed for him. Grandpa told me he was praying for him. That was a big part of Ken coming to the gospel, was Grandpa praying for him. Grandpa prayed for a lot of people in this room. There's people that have all been prayed for. And there's people who have been touched. There's people who have been shown that all of us, every single one of us can look in the mirror and say, at some point somebody prayed for me. At some point somebody did something for me that I might become a part of the kingdom of God. Because they cared enough for me to put aside any differences we had, whether we had differences or whether we were friends. I guarantee you there's people who have a problem with me who've prayed for me before. I guarantee you there's people who've had a problem with you that have prayed for you before. And that's something that we need to do. We need to keep moving. Verse 4, again, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You see, our prayer for people is that they come to know God. And our prayer for the saints is that they stay in the faith. And our prayer for the saints is that they have the boldness and the words that come to them so they are able to speak, and the doors that open so they are able to speak to the people. You know, when Paul was imprisoned under Caesar in Rome, and Caesar being the most powerful man in the world at that time, at any given point he could just say, I don't like that guy, and they just kill him. That's how Caesar was. In fact, Nero, which he might have been before Nero, but he might have been at Nero too. It's not for certain, but I think in my readings, Nero, who was Caesar, is actually who put him to death, I think. But it's possible it could have been the guy before him. But Nero, for his parties, lined up Christians, and he started them on fire to light his gardens. Tied them up, lit them on fire to light his gardens for his parties. That's the guy who is in charge of the people that were holding Paul in prison. And you know what Paul did? Paul spoke to his family. And there's even a part, and I don't have it today, where he says, and I've even got some. Because he was bold, because people prayed for him, because people were encouraging to him, and the words came to him, and the doors opened for him to preach the gospel to those people. You see, it starts with praying for the people, and caring for the people, and showing them the love that we're supposed to show them, and being that example, that light on the hill, being that salt of the earth, for the purpose of them coming to Christ, for the purpose of them receiving the knowledge of the truth. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It says, For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one... No, that's not the wrong spot. That is incorrect. Oh, 4. Verse 4. Sorry. I start at the end. Let's start in verse 4. Oh, yes. 1 Timothy 4:4. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word and God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, consistently nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Timothy's job was to point these things out to the brethren, to help them finish the race, to help them continue in the faith. And it is for this that they labor. It's for the purpose that people can come to Christ that Paul labored. That was everything that Paul worked for. Everything that he did had a purpose in helping somebody come to Christ. Because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially believers. He is who people have to know. He is who people have to understand. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator, also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. And for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in the faith and truth." God desires all men, and that is why Paul was commissioned the job he had, to go and to teach. And that is why we are commissioned the job we have. I found in Matthew chapter 28, we don't have to turn there, but we can. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, to go into all the world, mercying them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making disciples and teaching them all that we have commanded. And lo, he's with us to the end of the age. It is our job to take forth the gospel to the lost world. Not to the people we like, not to the people we get along with, but to everybody. Turn over to the book of Jude. It's really small, the last book right before the book of Revelation. Jude chapter 1. We'll go to the first book of Jude and the last book of Jude. There's only one. Jude 1 verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And having mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, even hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Snatching them out of the fire. You see, there's people every single day dying and going to the eternal destruction, the eternal fire, and burning forever. And if we do not envision those people going to hell forever, and I've got friends there. We've all got friends there. We all know that there is people that we loved in this world, that we loved in this life, that went to hell because they made a choice not to follow Christ. But it's our job to go to all people and snatch them out of the fire, that they might know God, that they might receive the knowledge of the truth, that they might be in eternal happiness with us in heaven forever, that they might be with God forever. Not just the people we get along with, but all men. So here's my challenge. pray for somebody this week. Actually, pray for multiple people this week. Be something to somebody that will lead them to Christ. Ask somebody to have a Bible study. And if you're not comfortable with it, and you want somebody to help, come ask somebody. Because it's not a matter of who can teach the person about Christ. It's a matter that they get taught about Christ. Take steps this week to help somebody reach Christ. Take steps this week to care about somebody. Take steps this week to do your part for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that we can be bold, Lord, in our lives, that we can be mindful of your will, Lord, that we can just picture, Lord, that you desire all men to be saved, and Lord, that we can just view everyone in that same way, Lord, that we have a desire for them to come to the knowledge of the truth, to come to know you. Lord, I just pray that in each and every interaction we have with people this week, that we might be that shining light, that they might see you through us, Lord. We know that sometimes the closest that people ever get to seeing you is seeing us, Lord, and that Lord, I pray that through us people might see you, that they might come to know you, Lord. I just thank you for your love for us. I thank you for Jesus, and I just pray these things in His most holy name, Amen.